is Brother Sheikh Sajid Mir on the third part, I believe, of purification of the soul. Excuse me, unifying the element three.
That is purification as a unifying element.
Purification as a unifying element.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. As we have previously seen, the Quran and the Sunnah provide a solid basis and foundation for unification of the Ummah, for the unity of the Ummah. The third important factor which has potential for creating unity in the Ummah is Tazkiyah, which means purification. Purification of the soul, purification of aqidah, and purification of amal, purification of action, purification of the acts which we do and perform. And this tazkiyah or purification is very important because the Quran says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى, or it says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا, one who purifies himself will succeed on the day of judgment and he will get falah, which means complete success, and not only on the day of judgment, even here one who purifies himself succeeds in the test of his life. And this tazkiyah, purification, was a part of the duties of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a prophet. As a prophet, he had to perform certain duties which have been enumerated and counted in the Quran when it says, yatlu alayhim ayatihi وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. He came to recite the verses of Allah's book to people. He brought Allah's book to people and recited its verses to them. That was his foremost duty. Then the next duty, يُزَكِّيهِمْ. On the basis of Quran, on the basis of his Sunnah, it was his duty to try to purify the souls and beliefs and actions of his people. وَيُعَلِّمُهُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ, and it was also his duty to teach the Book of Allah, to explain the Book of Allah, not only to recite its verses, not only to convey the message of Allah, but also to teach them its meaning and implication. So you see that it was a part of his duty to purify also. Tazkiyah was also a part of his duty. And he did purify thousands of people in his lifetime. Liars became truthful persons. The wicked became pious people. Killers and murderers became savers of mankind. Adulterers and fornicators became almost angels. And drunkards became teetotalers. He purified souls, he purified actions, he purified beliefs. And that is why even non-Muslim historians and scholars have had to admit his greatness as a reformer, as a purifier. The Encyclopedia Britannica, which is one of the authentic books of knowledge, in an article on the Prophet ﷺ, has said, Muhammad ﷺ was the greatest reformer history has known. Why? Because he purified thousands of people in his lifetime, and his teaching still continues to purify people. Now all that is true about tazkiya, that it is important and it purifies and changes the baser self of man. But our discussion today is how tazkiya was used and can still be used as a tool for unity. How does tazkiya become a unifying element for the ummah? How with other factors and other elements it unified the ummah in the past, and how it can still unify it? Now to answer that question, we will have to ask ourselves another question. And the question is, what actually brings about disunity in society? The main factors which bring about disunity are zulm and injustice, selfishness and self-centeredness, and quarreling, fighting for our rights, forgetting our duties. Tazkiya purifies people from these baser elements. For example, to eradicate and to remove zulm and injustice from society, from Muslim society, the Prophet ﷺ says, Al-Muslimu akhul Muslim, لا يظلمه ولا يحقره ولا يخذله. A Muslim is a brother to another Muslim. He does not do injustice to him. He is not cruel to him. He does not hate him. And he does not forsake and leave him in difficulties. And also he emphasized the importance of avoiding injustice and cruelty to others by saying, اتقوا الظلم فإن الظلم ظلمات يوم القيامة. Avoid cruelty, avoid injustice, because injustice will be a kind of darkness for you on the day of judgment. You will be surrounded by darkness and not noor and light if you are prone to injustice and zulm. Then again he said, لا يبغي أحد على أحد. No Muslim, nobody should transgress against another Muslim, another person. In order to purify the self, Islam has ordained two types of actions, two type of hasanat, two type of good things. There are some duties on us, obligatory on us, towards the Creator, towards Allah. And there are other duties, obligatory on us, towards other people. Hukukullah wa hukukul ibad. Rights of Allah and rights of people, rights of other men. Both are important in Islam. And tazkiyah is not possible if you forget any one of them. To emphasize this aspect, the Prophet ﷺ once asked a question to his companions. He put a question to them. Atadruna manil muflis? Do you know who a muflis is? Now muflis in Arabic is normally used for a poor person. So they said, a muflis in our language, in our eyes, is somebody who lacks fulus, who lacks money. We call him muflis. Said, no, let me tell you who is a muflis in the real sense of the word. A muflis is one who comes on the day of judgment with hasanat, with many apparent good acts. He has many good acts to his credit. But at the same time, ضَرَبَ هَذَا وَشَتَمَ هَذَا وَأَخَذَ مَالَ هَذَا. He was beating somebody in his life. He was insulting somebody in his life. He took the property of another person without any justification and right. That is, he was doing zulm, he was doing injustice and cruelty to other people. He was transgressing against them. So he says, what will happen is that people will stand against him on the day of judgment and demand justice from Allah, that this person has been transgressing against us on earth, in our earthly lives, and now we demand justice. Now Allah will decree that his good actions, as a reward, as a compensation, should be transferred to these people who are standing against him. So his good actions will be transferred to them. And if there are still some claims, they will be completed and fulfilled by transferring their bad acts to this person. Now he will become divided. His record of actions will become divided off. Good actions and his own bad actions will be increased by the transfer of other people's bad actions to his record. So the Prophet ﷺ said, this is the muflis, this is the poor person who took hasanat and good actions with him. But now his pocket is empty from all this, and instead of that, his bad acts have been doubled or increased. So, in this way, through this example, the Prophet ﷺ emphasized that you have to perform duties both to Allah and to men. And if you do not do that, you are a loser on the day of judgment. And at the same time, you will drive away people from you. When there is injustice, when there is zulm, and the society of Muslims does not try to stop it, then there is unrest in society. The society cannot be bound together in common bonds if one section of the society transgresses against the other or indulges in cruelty, injustice and zulm. Emphasizing the same thing in another tradition, the Prophet ﷺ says, مَنْ كَانَتْ لَهُ عِنْدَهُ مَظْلِمَةً لِأَخِيهِ مِنْ عِزِّهِ أَوْ مِنْ شَيْنْ فَلْ يَتَحَلَّلْهُ مِنْهُ الْيَوْمِ قَبْلَ أَنْ لَا يَكُونْ دِينَارٌ وَلَا دِرْهَمٌ. Whoever has transgressed against another person, he must either get forgiveness from him or compensate him today. before a day comes when no exchange will be possible, no transaction will be possible with dirham and dinar, with dollar and pound. A day is coming when dollar and pound and other currencies will be useless, and you will not be able to compensate any other person with your money, with your gold. So he says, it's time for you today to compensate or get forgiveness from any person against whom you have transgressed. Get it done before the day of judgment, otherwise you will be a loser. So through tazkiyah, we learn to avoid injustice, cruelty. We learn to be kind to others. And that brings the society together. That brings people together. Injustice, cruelty, unkindness, transgression will lead people astray from you. But justice and a care for their rights will bring them closer to you. And that will help to make the society united. Then secondly, tazkiyah inculcates and produces a spirit of sacrifice. And spirit of sacrifice also brings people together. Just as selfishness and self-centeredness drives people away from you, being sacrificial, having a sense of sacrifice, a spirit of sacrifice, brings them closer to you. The Quran has praised the early Muslim society, consisting of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It says, يُؤْسِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. They prefer their brothers to them in spite of their own need. They are themselves needy, but they prefer to fulfill the needs of their brothers. As a background of this verse, scholars say, Mufassirin say, that a person came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and told him that he was hungry. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked his companions who was ready to feed him and help him. One of them took this needy person to his house and asked his wife to give them something to eat. She said she didn't have much. She had food for only one person, and there was nothing for the guest. It was night time. The companion said, don't worry, there will be no light in the room. We will sit together, and in the darkness I will just give him the impression that I am also eating with him, but I will leave the whole food for him. So that is what he did. And in the morning, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on the basis of Allah's message, on the basis of wahi, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah has liked very much your act of last night, and he has praised it by saying, يُؤْسِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. The companions of my Prophet prefer the need of others to their own need. Perhaps a greater example of the spirit of sacrifice in the Muslim society is the mujahid, is the person fighting in the way of Allah, who is about to lay his life for the sake of Allah, who is on the verge of shahada, is going to die, and he is thirsty. Some people are carrying water on the battlefield, and he requests these people to bring water to him. Somebody brings water to him. And when he is about to drink, he hears the voice of another dying mujahid, another dying Muslim, calling for water. So he beckons, he says, give water to him, leave me, and give water to my brother. When water is taken to the second person, a third mujahid calls for water. And the second also does the same thing, take water to him, leave me. And it is recorded that all three of them were martyred. They died without taking water. But they proved that through tazkiyah and through purification of the baser elements which we have, Muslim society had become a purified society. And because of that purification, they were so much attached to one another, so much devoted to one another, that they could sacrifice for others. They could put their needs behind and sacrifice for others. That is what unites the society. That is what binds the society. That is what cements and welds the society together. And remember that these mujahideen, these three persons, belong to the same nation which used to fight for years together. They belong to the same nation, but they have been transformed, they have been purified. There were wars in Arabian society, as you know. Wars and battles which continued for years. So much so that a whole generation perished and the war was carried to the next generation. Still to the next generation. On small pretext, on small matters, they used to fight and fight for years. In the same society, it is tazkiyah, it is purification of soul, it is purification of aqidah, belief and actions. It is purification and tazkiyah which has completely changed and transformed this society into loving human beings. And as I said last night, when there is love, there is unity. When there is hatred, there is disunity. Now, thirdly, through tazkiyah, we can rise above our petty selves. We can rise above our small quarrels. And when there are no quarrels, no fighting, of course that will produce unity in Ummah and society. In the caliphate of Abu Bakr, when Abu Bakr was a caliph, he appointed Umar, radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he appointed Umar as the chief justice, as the qadi, for deciding the disputes and quarrels among people. And history says, كانت تمر على عمر الأشهر ولا ياتيه إسنان يتقاضيان عنده. Months will pass and Umar will be sitting waiting for people to bring disputes to him. But nobody will come to him with quarrels and disputes for months. Such a purified society, such an ideal society in which quarrels, disputes got to the minimum level, were brought to the minimum level. So, when there is tazkiyah in the society as a whole, and all or most of the people have gone through the process of tazkiyah, then there are very little chances of disputes and quarrels and fights among them, and that leads them to be united and to be one. So in order to produce that type of purification and tazkiyah, the Prophet ﷺ exhorted his people by saying, Ana zaimun bi baytin fil jannah. أنا زعيم ببيت في ربز الجنة لمن ترك المراء وإن كان محقا. He says, I stand surety for a house in paradise. I stand surety for a house in paradise for a person who abandons dispute and quarrel and abandons his rightful claim. He abandons his rightful claim on something. He knows that he is in the right. He has a rightful claim to something. But just in order to avoid dispute, he leaves his right. He abandons his right. If he can make the sacrifice, the Prophet ﷺ says, I stand surety that he will definitely, inshallah, get a mansion, a house in Jannah, in paradise. Then, fourthly, tazkiya makes members of the Muslim society helpful beings, helpful people, ready to help the needy, ready to help the distressed. Emphasizing this aspect of tazkiyah, the Prophet ﷺ says, "Man nafasa an mu'minin kurbatan min kurab dunya, nafasa Allah anhu min kurab yawm al-qiyam." One who removes a difficulty and distress from another believer, one who helps another believer in difficulty, or one who removes his difficulty here in this world, Allah as a reward will remove his difficulties and his distress and his trouble on the Day of Judgment. What a big reward for something which we can easily do today. If you find some brother Muslim in a trouble, in a difficulty, and we can help him, we help him and we get the reward, the big reward of Allah removing our difficulties and distress on a day when we will be very much in need of getting rid of difficulty and distress. So when this type of tendency, this type of habit is inculcated in Muslim society, when Muslim society and members of the Muslim society become helpful for one another, then of course necessarily and naturally they come together. They are united. Then fifthly, tazkiyah also helps us to avoid jealousy, hasad. And hasad is another factor bringing distrust, disunity in society. When there is hasad and jealousy between two persons, their hearts cannot unite. Their hearts cannot come together. Similarly, if there is jealousy among different strata of society, different levels of society, they cannot come together. The poor having jealousy for the rich. The downtrodden people having jealousy for the upper level of society. But if jealousy is avoided, it definitely helps to bring about unity. So to emphasize the importance of avoiding jealousy and hasad, the Prophet ﷺ says, لا تحاسدوا ولا تناجشوا ولا تباغضوا ولا تدابروا ولا يبع بعضكم ولا بيع بعض وكونوا عباد الله إخوانا. Says, don't be jealous with one another. Do not turn your backs on one another. Do not have hatred for one another. And he also says, if one Muslim is buying something and his bargain is almost complete, do not enter that bargain. Let him buy. وَكُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانًا. And in this way, become brothers to one another. Then Tazkiyah, sixthly, also teaches us humility. Through Tazkiyah, we can be humble. We can learn to control our pride. And humility also is a joining factor in society. Pride is a dividing factor. Humility is a joining factor. Joins society together. Joins the high and the low. Whereas pride rends people apart from you. If you are proud, people will not like you. People will not come near you. If you are humble, people will come to you. They will flock to you. That is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا يفخر أحد على أحد. Nobody should have a sense of pride over the others. And he says, emphasizing the importance of humility, humbleness, ما تواضع أحد لله إلا رفعه الله. Whoever is humble for the sake of Allah, whoever is humble to people for the sake of Allah, Allah raises his position. He becomes humble, but through humility, Allah raises his position, Allah raises his honor, Allah increases his dignity. So real dignity is found in humility. And humility, as I said, is one other factor which joins the different levels of society and the different members of society together. And again, emphasizing the importance of humility and the importance of avoiding pride, the Prophet ﷺ says, لا يدخل الجنة من كان في قلبه مثقال ذرة من كبر. He says, whoever has even an iota, a small part of kibr and pride, undue pride in him, he will not enter paradise. Then my seventh point about tazkiyah as a unifying factor is that tazkiyah also teaches us equality. Equality of mankind, equality of Muslims. When we get rid of our pride, our undue pride, and when we learn humility, the next step is that we also learn to be equal to others. We learn that we are not superior to other people. We are equal as far as being human beings and being human and being Muslims is concerned. We are equal. The only way one can be superior is through tazkiyah itself or taqwa. That is the only way in which a Muslim can be superior to him. If somebody is more pious, is a better Muslim, he's a better person. A better Muslim is a better person. Wealth, race, color, language, according to Islam, are not the points and not the factors which can make you superior to others. So, but that lesson is important, but that you learn only when you have cleared your basic self of its basic elements. When you have cleared yourself of the basic elements, only then you learn equality. And then you have respect for the lower strata of society, for the downtrodden people. once there was a small dispute between Bilal and Abu Zar, radiallahu ta'ala. There was something between them, a hard talk on some issue. And Abu Zar, who was a white man, originally from Persia, taunted Bilal, not from Persia, taunted Bilal by saying, Yabna Sauda, oh you son of a black woman. Bilal took the complaint to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that my brother Abu Zar today has addressed me by these words which I have not liked. So you know what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did? He called Abu Zar and said, innaka, he said very angrily, he said, innaka imrun fika jahiliya. Abu Zar, there are still traces of jahiliya in you. You have not learnt Islam. If you have said so, it means you have not learnt the spirit of Islam. You are still following the ways of jahiliya. You are still following the ways of the era when Islam had not brought light in the world. So Abu Zar realized his mistake and called Bilal, begged pardon from him and said, I want to compensate. And he offered a strange compensation. He said, I will not be satisfied until I lie on the ground and you put your black foot on my white face. I will only be satisfied if you do it. So he said, no, I forgive you. So this is the type of tazkiya which the companions of the Prophet learned from him. And this is how they became closer to one another. Similarly, Salman from Persia, Salman al-Farsi, Suhaib of Rome, and Bilal of Habsh, all foreigners to Mecca. They were sitting together. All foreigners, non-Qurayshis, non-Arabs, belonging to other nations, other races, they were sitting together once. Abu Sufyan, who was the leader of the Meccans after Abu Jahl, and who had organized all the battles against Muslims after the Battle of Badr, he passed. Now he had embraced Islam. Recently, he passed by. And they uttered a remark about him, which was not very bad. It was based on a fact. But anyway, they uttered something about him, which Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was present, which Abu Bakr heard. And he did not like it because he thought it was coming from foreigners to a leader of Quraysh. So he said, Atakuluna haza le shaykh al Quraysh wa sayyidihim. You are passing remarks about the leader of the Quraysh tribe. What are you doing? This whole incident reached the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He heard it and he said, Ya Abu Bakr, la'allaka aghzabtahum, la'in kunta aghzabtahum, laqad aghzabta rabbak. Abu Bakr, if you have made Salman and Suhaib and Bilal angry with your remarks, you must know that you have not made them angry, you have made Allah angry. What is that? What does that mean? It means that in the eyes of Islam and in the Muslim society, in the Muslim Ummah, foreigners, people belonging to another race, are important if they have taqwa, if they have tazkiyah. There is equality, there is oneness. and the only superiority is on the basis of taqwa and tazkiyah. Now, if you have these principles being acted upon in society, you have equality, you have fraternity, brotherhood. There is no distinction of race and color. Then, naturally, society will be welded together in a strong and complete whole. There will be unity in society. Another factor which brings society together, which brings the ummah together, and that can also be possible through tazkiyah, is husnul khulq, good manners and good behavior to other people. Emphasizing the importance of this aspect, the Quran says, addressing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْ فَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. If you were hard of heart, if you have been die-hearted, then people would have run away from you. People are flocking around you just because you are lean, you are kind, you are soft in your words and in your behavior. So this verse proves and tells us that being harsh to people, being hard to people, and using harsh words for them drives them away, and being lean to them, being kind to them, being soft worded brings them closer to you. This is the principle which the Quran has emphasized. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in a tradition, in a hadith, says, مَا مِن شَيْن أَفْقَرُ فِي مِيزَانِ الْمُؤْمِنِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مِنْ حُسْنِ الْخُلْقِ. There is nothing which will be more weighty, which will carry more weight in the balance on the day of judgment than good manners. Which means that if you have good manners, your mizan of hasanat, the balance which is going to weigh our good and bad acts on the day of judgment, in that mizan, in that balance, a complete mu'min is one, a complete believer is one who has good manners, whose behavior is good, whose behavior and treatment of others is good. And especially emphasizing kindness and leanness. He says, مَنْ يُحْرَمُ الرِّفْقِ مَنْ يُحْرَمِ الرِّفْقِ يُحْرَمَ الْخَيْرِ كُلُّ. One who is deprived of leanness and softness is deprived of all good. Meaning thereby that softness, kindness, leanness are the basis of other good things, other good habits. And it is reported through Aisha radiallahu anha in a tradition, إِنَّ اللَّهَ رَفِيقٌ يُحِبُّ الرِّفْقَ فِي الْأَمْرِ كُلِّهِ. Allah himself is kind and he likes kindness and leanness in everything. Then teaching good manners, good behavior, good treatment of others, the Prophet says, لَا تَحْكِرَنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ الشَّيْئًا وَلَوْ أَن تَلْقَى أَخَاكَ بِوَجْهٍ طَلِيقٍ. Do not consider any good actions as something very little. Do not belittle good actions. Even, he says, even meeting your brother, meeting your friend, meeting another Muslim with an open face, with a smiling face, is a good action. And it will carry reward. Do not belittle it. Do not forget its importance. And he says, Al-Kalimatu Tayyiba Sadaqa. Even good talk, soft talk, soft words are sadaqa. They are good for reward. They are among the hasanat. A companion came to the Prophet ﷺ once and said and requested, O Sayyidi, give me some advice. He said, La taghdab, avoid anger. Do not be angry with others unnecessarily. Faraddada miraran faqala la taghdab. He again requested, again and again requested, a number of times, give me some other advice, give me some other advice. But all the time, the Prophet ﷺ continued repeating the same advice, la taghdab, don't be angry. Be soft, be kind. Then, next, tazkiyah also teaches us forgiveness, afw. And al-afw or kindness, al-afw or forgiveness is another factor which wins hearts of others and brings them closer to you, and thus brings about unity among society. You know the extent to which the Meccans transgressed against the Prophet ﷺ and the companions. They fought battles with them, they tormented them, they forced them to leave their houses, to leave their city, and all those things which they did, you know very well. But after the conquest of Makkah, what happened? The Prophet ﷺ forgave all of them. Those who were killers of Muslims, those who used to taunt Muslims, kill Muslims, torment Muslims, and those who used to torment even the Prophet himself, all of them were forgiven. He said, اِذْهَبُوا فَأَنْتُمُ الطُّلَقَاءُ لَا تَصْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمُ. You are free, you can go. I will not take any revenge. I will forgive you. And I will not even try to remind you what you have been doing against me and against my companions. So what was the result of this general amnesty and general forgiveness? And then, this was a general forgiveness. To particular people also, he offered forgiveness. To Abu Sufyan, to the son of Abu Jahl, to other people. What was the result? The result was that the enemies of Islam, the enemies of the Prophet ﷺ became his friends, became his well-wishers. And the enemies of Islam became staunch and strong Muslims. That is what the Quran says, اِذْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ السَّيِّئَةَ فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. Face and oppose unkindness with kindness. Face and oppose wickedness with goodness. And it says, you will see when you are able to face wickedness with goodness, when you are able to oppose unkindness with kindness, you will see that your strongest enemy will one day will be your closest friend. The Quran says it is not very easy to do, but if you do it, you will see very good results. Your enemies will become your friends. Once a companion came to the Prophet ﷺ and said,
ان لی قرابتن اصلهم و یقطعونن و احسن الیهم و یسیئون الیه و احلم عنهم و تجهلون علیه. I have some relatives. I try to establish good relations with them, but they go away from me. I want to be good to them, but they are not good to me. I want to be lean to them, kind to them, and they are harsh upon me. What is your advice? Should I pay them in the same kind? Should I treat them in the same way that they are trying to treat me? He said, no. You better go on doing the same thing which you are doing. If Allah has given you the tawfiq, the courage to do good to your relatives who are not good to you, Allah will give you a great reward for it, and Allah will help you. So all these things are not possible without tazkiyah, without purification of our souls. And if we are able to purify our thinking, purify our souls, purify our actions, then through this tazkiyah and purification, Muslims will learn to avoid injustice. I'm trying to sum up now. Through tazkiyah, Muslims will learn to avoid injustice. They will learn to make sacrifice for others. They will avoid quarrels. They will try to be helpful for others. They will learn to avoid jealousy. They will learn to respect, to have respect for others. They will learn to feel equal with others, with other Muslims. They will learn humility through tazkiyah. They will learn good manners through tazkiyah. They will learn forgiveness through tazkiyah. And all these qualities, in their turn, when tazkiyah, through tazkiyah we get these qualities, what will happen? Then all these qualities will win the heart of other Muslims for a person who has inculcated all these good things in him through tazkiyah. He has got rid of his baser self. Somebody who has got rid of his baser self and learned all these things, people will come closer to him. People will come near to him. And if many people, or most people in society, have these traits, these habits, these qualities, then they will be closer to one another, and Muslim Ummah and Muslim society will become a close-knit, well-knit, united society. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Inshallah, we'll handle questions. Please, brothers, try to keep your questions related to the topic. Inshallah.
Jazakumullah khair, Sheikh, for your talk. Pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we all benefit from these lessons. You related to us many ahadith concerning the akhlaq and brotherhood. Just for more emphasis, I'm looking for some advice, especially to those of us who reside here in this country. It seems
advice for
us who live here in this country.
Mm-hmm.
It seems that when it comes to the brotherhood in Islam, many of us, we would take the, before we sacrifice for the sake of the brotherhood, fi sabilillah, we would take the benefit from something from the dunya, first, and we would sacrifice, we would leave the brotherhood to take the benefit from the dunya.
From
something, from material gain.
Yes.
Yeah? Mm. So can you, inshallah, please advise us how we can make some tazkiyah in this area, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair.
Islam has given us some lofty and high ideals. If we keep them in view, it becomes easier for us to clean ourselves of the baser elements like the one you have mentioned. And one of the most important lofty ideals given to us by Islam is belief in the hereafter, belief in akhirah. All of us claim that we believe in the life after death. We believe in akhirah. But does that belief reflect upon our practical, actual life? That is the real question. If we really believe in akhirah, then we should not prefer material benefits at the cost of a loss in the akhirah. Islam does not teach us to run away from the world. Islam says la rahbaniyata fil Islam. It doesn't say that we should leave the world, live in forests and mountains alone, secluded from the world. It doesn't say so. We have to live in this world, partake of this world in the right way, partake of the good things of life which are halal and which we get in the right way and halal way. There's no harm. Kul man harma zinata Allah allati akhraja li ibadihi wa tayyibat min ar-rizq. Whatever is halal and is God through the right way is not forbidden. But if we believe in the akhirah, then we should prefer things of akhirah to things of dunya. It's not a question of leaving the dunya and its things, but preferring the akhirah. So if we learn to prefer akhirah, then material gain and material benefit at the cost of others, at the cost of harming others, will not be our habit, will not be our preference. So what I can advise is that we, all of us, including myself, we should have a real, stronger belief on akhirah. We should try to understand the reality of life. Life and its daily events do not matter so much as its end results matter. What matters is the end result of our life, not the daily routine to which we are attaching so much importance. The daily happiness, the daily grief, the daily benefit, the daily loss, we attach so much importance to it. But what matters really is the end result of life. That is why the Quran says, "Sabiqu ila maghfiratin min rabbikum wa jannah." If you have to compete with one another, if you have to strive, the real field for striving and the real field of competition is that you should try to get more and more reward from Allah, a better place in paradise. So if we have that attitude of mind, then only we can avoid harming others and running after material benefits at the cost of other people.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. My question to you is, Sheikh, the charity, is it only amongst the Ummah, the Deen, or also with the Kufr Ummah? The charity that you spoke about, the Mujahideen that were on the field, are we supposed to care about their needs more than our needs also?
About you mean non-Muslim? Basically, we are talking of the oneness of Muslim Ummah. And most of these teachings to which I have referred, they relate to the relation of a Muslim to another Muslim, not to non-Muslims.
Shukran.
We have two questions for you, Sheikh. Number one, intention. When one tries to purify his intention, what are things that one can do to ensure that his niyyah is pure for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And two, when one tries to purify his soul, what are some preventative steps he can take to prevent contentment for after a period of time of trying to purify our souls? Some of us become satisfied with ourselves. What can one do to stop this?
As far as ikhlas, as the purification of niyyah is concerned, what we can do is to try to ask ourselves when we are doing something. We should stop for a moment, stop for a while, and try to ask ourselves, why I am doing this? Is it to please Allah or to please somebody else? If we just ask that question, our own self will come out with the answer. We know inwardly what we are doing and why we are doing. We know it. Only sometimes we just neglect the voice of our inner self. If we try to listen to our inner self and ask, put a question to it, to our inner self, I'm going to do this. Why? So once, twice, thrice, the answer will come. It is to get a good name. It is to get this and this worldly reward. Then after 3-4 times, you will learn to give preference to Allah's reward than any other thing. So it is a matter of learning. It is, and that matter of that process of learning will start by asking ourselves, by introspection, by an inward examination of ourselves. That is the only way in which we can improve our niyyah and ensure ikhlas. Then the second question. There is something which I do not clearly understand is the question, because it says when one tries to purify his soul, what preventive steps he can take to prevent contentment. Why should we prevent contentment? There is no question of preventing contentment. Contentment is good. But after a period of time trying to purify ourselves, some of us become satisfied with ourselves. Oh, perhaps the writer means that after a certain stage we think that we are already purified. That is perhaps what he or she means by contentment. I understand. It only happens. This type of contentment about tazkiyah and purification only happens when we have a wrong conception of tazkiyah, when we are not really purified. Only then we are content. There is contradiction between purification and contentment with purification, that I am already purified. The Quran says, لا تزكوا أنفسكم. Don't call yourself pure. Don't think that you have become pure. Let Allah decide. And to some extent, let other people decide whether you are good or not. Don't decide yourself. Because once you make that decision, once you are satisfied with your purification and tazkiyah, then in the first place, your further progress will stop. And secondly, you will have a sort of pride, a sort of kibar in your heart, And as I explained in my talk, when you have kibar, you have pride, then you are not having tazkiyah. Then you are not having taqwa or tazkiyah. So, being satisfied that, okay, we are all right now, is not good. That stops you from being really good. So, in fact, Islam enjoins upon us to continue our effort towards goodness till our last breath. We have to continue our effort to be good. We have to continue our effort to be a good Muslim, to have tazkiyah, to have other good things till the end. The moment we are satisfied, that moment is very harmful and very dangerous.
Alhamdulillah. We have questions from the sisters. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, brother. Throughout the Ummah, there is such an ugly division between many English-speaking sisters and Arab-speaking sisters, which transcends the language barrier. Often, our Muslim greetings are even returned. This is very sad and distressful. Can you offer any suggestions to us to eliminate this destructive element in our unity?
I've explained that Islam discourages and still discourages any barriers on the basis of language, race, color, poverty, richness, and or any other factor. If English speaking and Arabic speaking and using other types of languages, they feel foreign to one another, it is not the fault of Islam and its teaching. It is their own fault. And they should once again revive and relearn the lesson of Islam. The practical way will be that those sisters and those brothers who understand that these barriers of language and race and other barriers must be removed, they should make some steps, they should come some steps forward to others. Those who are conscious should make the beginning. And supposing there is a sister or a brother who speaks another language and he tries to be secluded from you and tries to be away from you and prefers his own society, prefers people speaking his own language. That is natural to some extent. But to break the barrier and bring him closer, you take a few steps forward, invite him to you, go to him, tell him or her, as your sister and as your brother, that our real relation is that we are Muslims. And that relation transcends every other barrier. So if he or she is not coming near you, you go near her. You make the first step. You take the first step. And as the Quran says, if you do goodness to somebody who is not doing goodness to you, a day will come when he will realize. The Quran says so. It says, he will realize that I am trying to avoid this person and he is constantly in touch with me, he comes to me, tries to make the barrier. If he has even some iota of goodness in him, or Islam in him, he will, inshallah, definitely realize one day that he should also reciprocate and give you the same reply in the same way in which you are trying to come near to him. So that is the only way through which barriers can be broken.
Yeah, my question, Sheikh, is I'm in a situation with a brother now, right, from an investment, and we both lost on investment. And I talked to the brother and he had told the brother that we had lost money on the investment, and there was no more money from the investment. But the brother seemed like he can't accept that there's no money from the investment. So it's bringing animosity between me and the brother. So how would you deal with that situation?
The best thing is that you find somebody who can be trusted by both of you. Instead of you claiming that you got a loss in the business or something, you find a third person, a third brother Muslim, who understands business, who is a man of understanding. Find him and say that if you are not satisfied, let us agree on a person to whom we can render our accounts. And in his presence, I let you know what has happened with the business. And then let that person see whether what you are saying is correct or not. If he is not satisfied directly from you, then the only way left is that some other one or two or more persons should sit together with both of you, and the matter should come to them so that they give their opinion. If you are in the right, then inshallah those people will convince your friend, your partner, that the loss is not because of any fault from you, and the thing inshallah will be settled.
I'm not sure if I had a question or they had a question.
Bismillah. I noticed I came late to your talk, inshallah ta'ala. And I noticed there are some things that you were talking about in your talk, which was covered in the book Purification of the Soul, and the other book, The Islamic Personality, by Sheikh Hamdi, the student of Muhammad Nasruddin al-Albani. But there was a part in the book, and I don't know if you addressed that part. There was a part in the book where he said that a part of a good character for a Muslim is that he or she doesn't have any free time. Maybe a time where they're not doing anything, a free time. I came late, and I know this probably may not have been in your talk. I was wondering maybe if you could, maybe inshallah, comment on that. And the second part of my question is, a lot of Muslims feel that in order to purify their heart and their soul, a lot of Muslims feel that you should not indulge in any kind of communication like a television or radio because of the things that come into the homes or what have you. My question is, do you think that would, to cut off television or cut off radio and things of that nature, do you think that could work for the betterment of one purifying his or her soul? Or do you think that there are certain elements of television or radio that could benefit you or whatever? Inshallah, get your feelings on that, inshallah ta'ala.
In my view, I do not personally hold the view that no recreation or free time is possible for a Muslim. I do not agree with that. Islam has put certain restrictions and limitations on our life, but it is not so strict that it teaches us to avoid all recreation or all free time. Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, did get some free time. For example, we were talking of good jokes last night, which the Prophet himself, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he also liked. Then other types of recreation, useful, healthy recreation were there. But the time which you get from your regular job or daily activities, you should use as much of that time in zikr and remembrance of Allah. That is true, but it doesn't mean that you cannot at all indulge in recreation and having free time. I do not hold that view. Then secondly, televisions and other things, if they have informative program, news, things like that, they are not bad. But if they have something which is haram in itself. Women, nakedness, songs, dances, things like that. They are haram in television and haram everywhere. So what is haram outside is haram here also. And they should be avoided. Such programs should be avoided.
Inshallah, we're going to answer these three questions from the sisters who were first. Inshallah, we have 5 minutes left in the discussion.
If you have wronged someone and that person is now deceased, what can you do to seek forgiveness or what expiation? If you have transgressed against somebody and he is no more in the world now, what you can do for him is to make dua for him or her, or give some sadaqah and request Allah to give the reward of that sadaqah to him or her. That is the way of compensation, and it is authentic, that because it has been stated in the hadith. If you have a sister, friend, and your wakil is going to marry her, and all of a sudden there's a lot of confusion between you and that sister, what should you do? Before all of this, she was okay, but now it just seems to be very hectic. Your wakil is going to marry, and all of a sudden there is a lot of confusion. You had a sister or a friend whose wakil is going to marry her to whom? Not very clear. The wakil of this sister is going to marry him. If this thing comes from the wakil himself, then the sister is not to blame. But if it is coming from the sister, then I will give the same advice which I gave to this gentleman who was talking about his business. In such matters in which there is any confusion between you and your brother or your sister, and in spite of all your efforts, that thing is not going away, not being removed, then the only way left for us is to request some other person to enter. And that is the way which is indicated by the Quran itself. It says, when there is a dispute between husband and wife, and in spite of their best efforts, it is not settled, then both the parties should appoint a wakil, should appoint somebody else. Those other parties should sit with them and talk with them and try to solve. So all these matters, all similar matters, can be solved in the same way, that if you are not able to settle them directly, then request some other people to join, other Muslims, well-wishers, to join, and they will let you decide those matters. That is the only way. If you can't decide directly, then ask other Muslims to help you in that matter to decide. Can we as believers achieve tazkiyah through zikr and remembrance of Allah? Zikr is one of the ways for purification of soul. I have been talking about tazkiyah as a tool for achieving unity. It was not within my purview of talk to tell you how tazkiyah itself can be attained. I only talked about how tazkiyah can be helpful in achieving unity. But how tazkiyah itself can be attained is requires a separate, complete talk. This has been answered. If there is a sister that believes that you have harmed her, and you have not, but she really believes this and has cut off relations with you, even after asking Allah for forgiveness and this sister, other sisters have tried to mediate on my behalf. What should I do? This person has cut relations from me because of love of a non-Muslim. It's not good on our part. It is not good on a part of a brother Muslim or sister Muslim to cut relations with other brothers because for the sake of a non-Muslim. It's not good. And she is to blame for it, not you. And if you really believe that you are not responsible for harming her, then you have to convince her. And the same thing which I said in connection with some other questions, if you are not able to convince directly, then ask some responsible, wise gentleman or sister, convince him first, convince the third person first, and let him convince the other person. One minute, please. About the zikr, I said that your free time, as far as possible, should be used for zikr. But if at times you recreate and have healthy recreation, just as when you are doing a regular job, you don't have time for ibadah or zikr. But if it is a kind of job that during you are doing it with your hands, your brain is not busy, your mind is not busy, then even then you should be remembering Allah. Similarly, during recreation also, there are types of recreation, there are types of free time, during which you are enjoying yourself and at the same time remembering Allah. If you can do that, it's good. Even when you are doing your job and even when you are recreating and enjoying yourself, even at that time, we should not try to forget the remembrance of Allah.